You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, go to our website, kfuo.org, and look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section there. Joining me in studio today, our friends from Lutheran Housing Support with some great news to share about what's happening at College Hill here in the St. Louis area. Joining me in studio today, Nicole Ridley. She's the chief executive for Lutheran Housing Support. Nicole, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you. Good day.
Glad to have you here in studio and talking about what's going on at College Hill. And Fred Kimbrough, director of project and lending. Fred, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
I always love talking with you guys because you have great stories to share. And it's always about something positive and encouraging. It's about growing communities and neighborhoods. And I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules. I know that you all had a lot of appointments and meetings today, so thanks for taking some time to come talk with us.
Anytime.
What is, for our listeners not familiar with Lutheran Housing Support or National Housing Support Corporation, tell us what is Lutheran Housing Support?
Lutheran Housing Support, we've started our corporation in 2007. Mm-hmm. It was an outgrowth of Housing Ministry under World Relief and Human Care, but we were really created to support congregations, districts, and social ministries that are interested in community improvement in and around their neighborhoods where they're located. And so we're there to assist congregations or other LCMS entities in lifting up their communities and identifying communities of need, assisting them with ways to address their unmet need, mm-hmm. and really lifting them up in the process and guiding them on how to address that need. So,
what is that measure? How do we identify a community that's in need? The congregations, I'm sure, probably in those communities may think that their community has a need. How do you identify that? How do you determine this is a community that has a need and we can do something here that makes a difference?
So a lot of times we receive calls from very, very urban communities or very rural communities that have experienced a lot of disinvestment. Mm-hmm. So those are the types of communities that we usually receive calls from. And they can see a lot of need because usually they're communities that have experienced a lot of, again, disinvestment. And so we generally partner with the Office of National Missions, with the Director of Community Engagement, which is Carlos Hernandez, Pastor Carlos Hernandez, and work with him in his Gospel Seeds mm-hmm. outreach process. So that is a 3-day kind of intervention where we meet with stakeholders in the community, do door-to-door interviews with residents in the community, and really ask and introduce the congregation or the LCMS entity to the community and say, you know, we're here, we're located in close proximity, and just really want to know what it is that you have experienced in the community and what is your greatest unmet need. We talk to other stakeholders and really assemble that information and look at, you know, who else is doing this in the community, who else is addressing these needs that we've identified through mm-hmm. this process, and how do we as a congregation or as an entity, how do we use the resources and the gifts that are within our congregation to address that need. And we kind of help them think through that and identify what their role might be and partners that they may bring to the table, and then other local financial resources and how we can implement that mm-hmm. that effort. So,
Fred, what's your involvement in that process?
Well, I would say that I'm the guy that's on the ground. Or as President Harrison says, our man in the hood. So I'm one of those, however you want to look at it. But what I do, I'm often engaged with the citizens. That's a big part of my responsibility to manage our community outreach efforts. And so we work with, we have a great group of people, not just on staff, but volunteers, also reach out and form various partnerships with other churches. And what we try to do is fill the void where often there's not enough government assistance, there's not enough community assistance, just be there. And in the past year, Andy, we really focused a lot on community safety. And in particular around working with children in the College Hill neighborhood. That was a major push that we, an initiative that we had last year. And we really wanted to try to break that chasm in between the police department and children in this particular neighborhood. That's a problem throughout urban America, where you have children afraid of the police, people, residents not wanting to talk to the police because that's viewed somehow as not being loyal to the community. But in neighborhoods like College Hill, where you unfortunately will have violent crime from time to time, building that relationship up is so, so valuable and so important. And we had a lot of initiatives that we did. And one that I'm very proud of is that we were able to raise enough funds to put together a camera system within the College Hill neighborhood. And so that is going to aid in our crime prevention efforts in the community. And it's going to tie into the police department. And it's going to also be monitored by stakeholders in the community and trying to create that safe environment. So because the only way we're going to ultimately be able to rebuild College Hill is to bring forth that security blanket, that safety where people can come out and really engage the community. And people want to move and become a part of it. We're very honest. We took a real brutal assessment. The only way we're going to be able to accomplish our goals of building these homes and further stabilizing the community is if there's a safe, sound environment for the children, for the elderly people, for everyone to thrive. So,
how important is it? How key are those partnerships to development? How key is it to have that partnership with the local police, with other community organizations? How essential is that to your work?
I'd say, and I think Nicole would agree, that we don't have enough resources to do everything by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we need partnerships in terms of grant dollars, donor dollars, support. We worked in conjunction with some other neighborhood stakeholders to actually pinpoint highest areas of crime, like, for example, with Grace Hill, which is a social service agency based in College Hill. We worked very close with the school there, Bryan Hill Grade School. And so to actually help disseminate information to the children, we did an event called the Safe Zone, which was really cool, like back to school activity, where we actually had the police department come out with their bomb robot, the highway patrol motorcycle cop, the traffic cop, all these different things. They have a mascot. A lot of people don't know that the police department called Sam Safety. Sam came out, and the kids love Sam Safety. We even brought the fire department out, and they let the kids, especially the little ones, spray the water hose, the fire hose. And that just gives a sense of community. Much like when we were younger, that was normal.
So the partnerships are very essential, and so they range from government to individuals to foundations, corporations, other agencies that are serving communities. So all partnerships are that are missionally aligned with our congregations and the work that we and the mission that we have are very, very, very essential in order to get the work done.
Sure.
Because, again, as Fred said, that we do not have all of the resources. And it didn't take one person to...
It takes more than...
It takes a village.
Right. And from what you're sharing with me, it takes more than financial resources. Obviously, those are important. But as you were describing, Fred, the presence of police in the community and the trust of police in the community, that is essential to people feeling safe in the neighborhood, that for there to be safety in the neighborhood and for the residents to feel comfortable and safe in their own neighborhood is just essential to this community growing and being a thriving community in St. Louis, a thriving neighborhood. And so you know, for some partnerships, some resources, it's a presence. Mm-hmm. It sounds mm-hmm. like to be able to build that relationship.
Absolutely.
And what we think is very viable in the work that we do is that there is a Lutheran presence, mm-hmm. and is a focal point of every partnership. Because our work is one aspect of reaching the people and caring for the people and changing a community or improving a community. But the goal, too, is also to be able to open up opportunities to share the gospel. And I think mm-hmm. that's what makes us different from other community development organizations. And so we think that's key.
And so that the goal is to point them back to ultimately to Word and Sacrament Ministry. And in College Hill, that's St. Paul Lutheran Church, right?
Absolutely.
Tell me about what's happening at St. Paul Lutheran Church in College Hill. We had a chance to visit there in person last year and talk with some of the folks in the community and talk with vicar and pastor there and learn more about what's happening at College Hill. What's going on there today? How has St. Paul congregation played a role in the development of this neighborhood?
So the vicar has really ramped up his outreach mm-hmm. work, primarily with the children, but they have started a movie night, mm-hmm. And that has really grown. They are, I think, ramping up to do a Bible study.
They did a little summer lunch program mm-hmm. For children, low-income kids mm-hmm. from the community.
In partnership with the school system. Mm-hmm. So those types of activities have been paramount and showing a presence.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And so now they are being recognized as a place to go. And through those activities, they have begin to baptize children. Mm-hmm. They begin to baptize and see parents that are coming to the neighbor or coming to the church. They are, I think he is in the process of confirming a few children, but that is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. So St. Paul's is really becoming a high point mm-hmm. in the College Hill community.
Absolutely.
Again.
Right, absolutely. And the neighborhood organization that meets monthly meets at St. Paul's in the evenings, last Thursday each month. And that has been invaluable in all the outreach efforts that we do. And also the pastor as well, Pastor Andrus, as well as Vicar Kirschman, have participated in the various events that we've had and come out and support them, whether it's the Safe Zone or the Breakfast with Santa that we've done in the neighborhood, and a lot of different initiatives there, right there. Of course, the prayer walk mm-hmm. That we did last year, the last 2 years, that started from St. Paul. And so they have stepped up in a very big way. And starting to help try to be a stabilizing force in the neighborhood. I think the most active church in the neighborhood.
They are the most active church mm-hmm. in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. yes.
And becoming probably the best known in the neighborhood.
Absolutely.
Another partnership that I think may be key to this is a partnership with the city. The city government, St. Louis city government. Tell us about that partnership, that relationship.
Well, the city government has been very instrumental in assisting us with a lot of the progress that has been made. We received our first $389,000 to help with the construction of 4 homes. We received from the Community Development Administration. And that was huge, and we have 2 homes that they are funding under construction. Well, one is under construction right now, and then the other will begin next week. Wow. So we have 2 more lots that they are funding the difference between what we can actually sell it for and what mm-hmm. it actually costs to build. So it's called development subsidy. And that's wow. actually grant dollars that help spur development and growth in a neighborhood. And they also provided at very low cost vacant land that we were able to build these houses on. So we initially optioned 26 lots. By the time we combined those lots, we ended up with 20 buildable lots. But those lots were made available through the Land Reutilization Authority by the City of St. Louis. We also have a wonderful partnership with Alderwoman Flowers. She has been very supportive in assisting us with getting that neighborhood, at least our targeted development area, designated as a redevelopment area, so that people that we sell homes to can benefit from
10-year
tax abatement. Mm-hmm. And so the homes that we build on the lots that were provided at low cost from the city will be only assessed at the vacant land value.
Wow.
For the first 10 years. So they'll be taxed on that for the first 10 years, which allows us then to sell a home for a very affordable price.
Sure.
On top of the development subsidy that was provided. So Alderwoman Flowers has been instrumental in several other ways, providing support letters for the funding that we're seeking. She's actually working with Fred right now to provide. We've completed an infrastructure assessment, mm-hmm. so she's helping us identify dollars outside of what we would have to secure through her own resources.
Right.
Dollars to.
And she just mentioned to me actually last week that is at the top of her agenda as they're going through their budgeting process now. And so what that means is she'll come in with some sidewalks, new and improved sidewalks.
Wow.
Curbing, all those different things that you need in the neighborhood, and a few aesthetic things if mm-hmm. the footprint allows, like trees and things of that nature. So she's been a fantastic partner with helping us do things that we need to do. And we have other partnerships. One I haven't mentioned before, because we do a lot of property acquisition. And so the St. Louis University Law Clinic is also a partner, and they are able to help the residents at no cost deal with title issues and things of that nature, which that's big a lot of times mm-hmm. in a lot of these types of communities where someone passes away, mm-hmm. but the title and, there was no estate planning. And so they've been able to help us move through those types of issues as well. So it's funny, partnerships, we can't say enough about that. We've been very blessed in terms of the types of partners we've been able to come in with and form some really good coalitions down here. There's just a real good spirit, I think, right now operating with the work that we're doing down in College Hill.
Right. And most recently, Fred and I visited with the mayor's office because there is a grant opportunity with the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Their conference in June, but you have to be nominated by your city, by the mayor's office, in order to be eligible to apply. So we met with the mayor's office and brought them up to speed. I mean, we periodically meet with the mayor's office and bring them up to speed as to what we're doing and talk about the progress in College Hill. And they called a couple days later and said that they would be in support of us submitting an application and actually writing a support letter in order for us to be eligible. So that is coming up, but that is another way that we partner with the city. And we've received other funding for community safety initiatives from the city to spur community safety initiatives through the city in College Hill, funded by the city. So that was a $25,000 grant that we received. So as Fred stated, when we take those experiences and when we work with other congregations throughout the country in our national work, we take all these experiences and apply them to other communities.
Tell me about the recently received grants to support this work. Tell me about those grants.
So, yes, we just received another grant for $479,000 from the Federal Home Loan Bank in partnership with PNC Bank. That also will serve as development subsidy for another four homes. And we will be building those homes on Blair in College Hill. So that would bring us up to having at least 8 homes that will be funded between the city's money and the Federal Home Loan Bank of Pittsburgh's commitment to the project. So we're very excited about that. And so we're ramping up, again, our marketing efforts. We do have a list of prospect buyers, but we continue to try to fill that list with additional buyers because, you know, mm-hmm. 1 out of 5 people who are interested will probably convert to a mortgage-ready borrower. So,
what's the difference between buying one of these homes and buying a resale somewhere else in the city? Is there a difference?
Oh, a major difference. The biggest difference is you can get a brand new home that costs us anywhere from $195,000 to $205,000. You can get it for anywhere from $95,000 to $105,000, because roughly $100,000 is being subsidized of the cost. And so when Nicole speaks of the development subsidy, mm-hmm. that's what it's doing. It's making the home more affordable for someone, and it's trying to help revitalize that particular neighborhood by bringing in strong working and middle class families. And so far, I'm really happy that 2 of the persons who have bought homes with us are city employees. And that was one of the main demographics we were looking for. And we want to see teachers purchasing mm-hmm. the homes. And we just want to see a lot of the people who believe in the city and want to stay here. We want to give them some opportunities, some quality housing options. And, we have down payment assistance to assist with that, where they get anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000 to help with the purchase of a home. So we're trying to make it as easy as possible and as appealing as possible. And so by looking at the quality of life issues around the safety and looking big picture at a comprehensive redevelopment plan for the neighborhood. That's something we're going to be working on and bringing more partners to the table to develop other types of housing. We focus on single family. There's a lot of seniors in the neighborhood, so there's going to be a market there for that, especially the more, I'd say, safer we can make it. So it's all working together right now, but it's going to be tremendous when it's all said and done.
So it does take a certain kind of buyer mm-hmm. to be interested at this point, because there are some challenges, as we shared, mm-hmm. In marketing the community, and perceived safety is one. That's mm-hmm. why crime and safety initiatives that mm-hmm. are key for us to continue to stay ahead of. But the development subsidy also helps us spur the market. Mm-hmm. So, while it cost us that much to build, what it cost to build is what it cost to build. I don't care if you go from mm-hmm. a suburban area, materials don't change in price. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, we are more challenged because we have to connect to existing utilities, which is fine, but we have infrastructure underground issues that we have to deal with mm-hmm. That even drive the cost up. But still, because there hasn't been a lot of investment in very, mm-hmm. in many, many years, 40 plus mm-hmm. in most instances, there really isn't a market, a comparable
sure.
market.
For comps.
For
yeah.
comps. So while it costs to build mm-hmm. a house for $180,000, $90,000, and we're trying to build comparable homes mm-hmm. that anybody would want to move
sure.
in. Because we want that community to be repopulated with a socioeconomic mix of individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to spur that market, mm-hmm. That development subsidy is required. And that's why grantors or funders such as the City of St. Louis, the CDA Department, Community Development Administration Department, or a Federal Home Loan Bank would invest development subsidy so that we can spur the market and be where the appraisals need to be.
And so for example,
we can only sell at what the appraised price.
Right. And so for example, since we built our first home, we've seen the comparables go from $85,000 up to $105,000 just in the last couple of years. And, you know, when we first went over there, everybody's like, oh, you're not going to be able to sell these for, but maybe 70-something thousand. And so, but what that also does is, which is another offshoot of this, it creates a viable rehabilitation market as well. Now, with those properties that are vacant but are salvageable, you can come in and fix those up and be able to do it at a fair market value, and for someone who maybe can't afford what we're doing. And so it just creates, it spurs more housing development and economic activity. And that's all a part of this big picture, is to create an economic engine over here as well.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
KFUO.org, the messenger of good news for all nations.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Today we're talking with Nicole Ridley and Fred Kimbrough of Lutheran Housing Support about the development of the College Hill neighborhood here in St. Louis, Missouri. Once these the new homes are owner-occupied, mm-hmm. what kind of difference do you think that's going to make for the community? What do you think that will that bring about any change in the community?
Well, the community used to be a vibrant, stable community mm-hmm. where there was professionals, mm-hmm. you know, it just was, stores, shops.
Mm-hmm.
And so our hope is, as we continue the work, and while we didn't talk a lot about this, or we didn't talk about this at all, but, you know, part of the stabilizing factor is also, you know, we have a lot of elderly people in the community, and so we are providing owner-occupied rehab grants that allow people to stay in age in place. So we're providing a lot of health and safety related mm-hmm. grants to those older neighbors. So we're not displacing people. We're working towards
helping them stay in their homes in a
safe environment. So there's a whole stabilizing effect. Mm-hmm. So we want that community to be stable, revitalized, and vibrant as mm-hmm. it used to be. It's going to take a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Again, we work with a lot of people because it's going to take a village to revitalize that community.
And they're very, when you talk about some of the impact, they are so proud when they see those new homes. They have really embraced what we're doing. And to them, it's a self-esteem boost. They feel like somebody actually cares about them because, you know, a lot of times when your area has declined, there's a lot of plans and, mm-hmm. oh, we're going to bring it back this way. And the people really get pessimistic. And it took a while for us to gain the confidence of the residents. They thought a lot that we were blowing smoke a little bit initially. Mm-hmm. And when we said we want to come in and help revitalize the neighborhood. And it's taken a while because it's not a quick process.
So mm-hmm. it took building a relationship with mm-hmm. with the neighbors of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the individuals that mm-hmm. that you've gotten to know, how this work, how this partnership and working in the community has impacted them. What has been the response of the folks who live there? What have you learned from them What have they shared with you that made you say this is worthwhile? This is the work that we're given to do.
I tell you, so my favorite story, I probably have told it over and over and over on the radio, and whoever will listen, but and to whomever will listen.
We're listening.
So Carol Crenshaw, and I think this sums it all up. So Carol Crenshaw has been in that neighborhood for over 50 years, I believe, maybe 40 plus years.
Correct.
And lived there, raised her children there. She has adult children now who have children. And she said that she started in that community and it was vibrant and it was beautiful. And she was so busy taking care of her family that she really wasn't aware of the decline that was taking place over a period of years. And she said one day she looked out her window, heard some gunshots, and just looked and actually was stunned by what she saw outside the neighborhood. And then she's been pretty active, over the years with a lot of different community groups that have come in and have gotten the grant money and then have left. Mm-hmm. And because there's always resources available to do the kind of work. But a lot of communities will plan you to death, get a couple of dollars, and leave. Mm-hmm. And this has happened over several different groups over probably a 10-year period. And she stops and says, but then the Lutherans came.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And another person that comes to mind to me is Terry Roves, who is like one of the hardest working community people you ever meet. Terry Rose's family has been in College Hill for five generations and a part of St. Paul's Lutheran. Mm-hmm. And Terry is at every community meeting. She's at the church when we're doing the meetings. And whenever there has been a volunteer effort, Terry's one of the first people to volunteer. And that's really special to me because here's a person that could have left but decided to stay and wanted to fight for our community. And to me, that gives me inspiration to go out and work as hard as I can because, I think everybody deserves to be in a safe environment, in a thriving environment. You shouldn't have to always move to have a nice place, especially when that place that you're going to have to move from has been home. Mm-hmm. I mean, home for literally for hundreds of years for her family. And we got tons of people like that. We have a lady who lives across from our model home, Pat Woods, who actually has opened up the first first restaurant in over 20 years in College Hill. And we've been actually in various volunteers from the church and church bodies have supported that effort to help her get that business. It would not be open if it was not for several Lutheran churches and benevolent folks. So I'm all in College Hill. Nicole knows. She has to back me down because we do have national responsibilities. But I really enjoy the people in the community. There are a lot of just good Christian people that just need some help, really and truly, they are so embracing, and they look out for us, just like as we were building, this has been one of the biggest blessings. We've never really had any issues with theft or anything on our construction sites because the community has embraced that as if it was their home when they see one of our homes going up. And they will call us and they will call the police if something looks out of place.
They protect it.
Yeah. It's just been a great experience. Yeah,
that action alone, that ownership, when the neighbors step up and say, we've got to protect this. This is something good. Mm-hmm. What does that say about the change in the neighborhood?
There is a genuine sense of ownership now, pride. And we actually did a survey after the Urban Lift grant was completed. Now, Urban Lift, paid for. It was a Wells Fargo grant along with NeighborWorks America, and they give us $150,000 to acquire and demo vacant and abandoned properties. So there were derelict properties that were inviting lots of negative activity. So we tore 9 properties down. And so after that, we conducted a survey, and there were some general themes of which a newfound pride, ownership of community. There was a sense of inspiration to do more, especially when we were talking to existing homeowners, where if they weren't really inspired to do anything to their homes, even if they could, now they were. So those kinds of feelings, and a lot of anecdotal-like information we collected. So, I mean, I think that says a lot.
To me, it says that there's something here worth keeping.
Right.
Whereas a neighborhood that appears neglected, where neighbors don't want to come out of their homes, don't want to interact, says we don't value, we don't value you, we don't value each other. When neighbors start coming out of their homes and interacting with one another and start caring about the construction next door, or start caring about the kids that they see on the street, that says we value these lives here. We value these people.
Absolutely. And we can start in very little ways. I mean, it doesn't have to be as comprehensive as this. But congregations or any LCMS entity that who desires to do something, they can start with something small. And if they don't know how, that's what we're created to do, is to kind of be that expertise on the ground, to lend our expertise to them.
Sure. So. You deal with, I'm sure, lots of policies and codes and ordinances and paperwork upon paperwork and grants, grant requests and, writing those requests for grants and all of that. What makes it worth it in the end? All the work that you go through, all the sometimes red tape that you have to face, I'm sure, especially, I imagine, when it comes to building.
one thing in particular, and this is really funny, like the safety, College Hill Safety Initiative grant that we received from the city, it's kind of a funny story, because originally we thought we were going to get some help with security cameras. And so we went in thinking that's what we were getting funded for. And it was like, oh, no, we want you to develop a neighborhood ownership model plan. I was like, oh, okay. And so not quite what we signed up for. And it's a lot of red tape and regulations, because they're trying to prevent malfeasance that has gone on in the past with those types of grants. But I tell you, when we can do a breakfast with Santa, and you can see the smiles and the joy on those children's faces, it makes it all worth it. And when you can see the folks when we do a ribbon cutting or groundbreaking, and how they beam at what's going on. And when you have the mayor of the city of St. Louis come to a community and people see him for the first time, or the police chief, Chief Dotson, come to coffee with a cop and socialize with the residents, that makes it all worth the while, because I know what we're doing is significant and it's having impact, and it is going to bring about the change that is required in that community. So.
And that's the change in the community, but it does change lives too, because people can live in an environment that they deserve to live in, but then to be able to change their lives in the way that they are introduced to Word and Sacrament Ministry, and that we are able to open up the doors and share the gospel, and then children are baptized, and families are confirmed, and they are churched, and that, to me, is why we exist. The community development part, the community development part is a piece, and it is a way to open the door, but saving lives and so that they may have eternal life is the best.
Absolutely. Now, College Hill is just one of the things that one of the development things that National Housing Support Corporation, Lutheran Housing Support, is doing. There are other things, other communities that you're serving as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Where are some of the other places that Lutheran Housing Support is doing work these days?
Well, interesting. we've done work in a lot of places, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We've just left Detroit trying to figure out how to expand their ministry. They are acquiring property behind their church property and rehabbing those properties that are derelict and, mm-hmm. and abandoned and turn them into rental properties. But that is their outreach ministry to the families that continue to live there. And so they're trying to figure out how to acquire more to expand that ministry. So we've been working with Pastor Essenberg for many, many years. But through that work, he has baptized several of the families and their extended families. They don't even live there, but they're learning about what the church has to offer. And he's bringing them in. And then most recently, we launched a Helping Hands project in Fort Wayne, Indiana a year and a half ago, and that is helping owner or residents, primarily elderly or low income, around the altars of the church to continue to age in place in a health and safety in a safe and healthy environment. So we rehab 9 homes around Redeemer Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, where we assisted them in rehabbing 9 homes. But we are engaging in 2 others projects very similar to that in partnership with Trinity Lutheran in Fremont, Nebraska, and Unity Lutheran in East St. Louis.
It's an important work, and I'm glad that to hear that all of this points back to the gospel, that this work of human care, of mercy in communities so that communities can thrive, is so that to take down those walls and open up those doors to a word and sacrament ministry in these neighborhoods. Well, thank you both for your time today, for sharing with us about the great work that Lutheran Housing Support is doing, and I look forward to sharing more stories in the future and great success stories. Fred Kimbrough, Director of Projects and Lending for Lutheran Housing Support, thanks for being my guest today.
No problem.
And Nicole Ridley, Chief Executive for Lutheran Housing Support, thanks for being my guest today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Joining me by phone today, Alderwoman Flowers. She represents the 2nd Ward in St. Louis. Alderwoman Flowers, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy.
So glad to have you with us today. I'd love to hear about the work in College Hill. Let's talk a little bit about the history of the College Hill neighborhood in St. Louis. Tell me what you're familiar with about the history of College Hill.
Well, College Hill is, politically, it's divided among 3 wards. So I've only had a small piece of College Hill, but from the years of me getting to know the residents, rather I moved to this side of the street or on this side of Blair, College Hill seems to be a very close-knit neighborhood that knows their neighbors. They are proud about their community. They love where they live despite some of the challenges it has with economic development and housing. And they've always been a group. I have 7 different neighborhoods, and College Hill has been one of the most hardest working neighborhoods as far as residents getting together, organizing, and meeting. So I have a special place in my heart for College Hill, because every time I see them, it's just happy people, ready to roll, not ready to leave, but ready just to grow. So I think Lutheran Housing Services was the perfect fit. And I've always known of the organization at St. Paul Lutheran. And it was a little struggle in the beginning, but the community and Lutheran Housing Services and the residents of College Hill have formed quite a wonderful, blessed unity that I'm proud to be a part of.
How would you describe the circumstances, the adversity to overcome, and what these partnerships like Lutheran Housing Support can bring to overcoming that adversity and really making College Hill a great neighborhood again?
Well, the second ward is the largest ward in the city, and I have a lot of scattered housing. I don't have large plots of land where most developers want to come in and build a number of houses. So I've never really been courted by development companies because it's just not financially worthy for them to do so. So for college, for Lutheran Housing Services to come in and want to build and enrich the community and not just looking at it as their next project or their next economic charge, they're looking for how they can stabilize this community, how they can use the people's thoughts, desires, and suggestions and put that to work. So, you know, not they didn't just come in and say, we're going to buy this and we're going to rehab it this way and we want tax abatement on this. They didn't do that. They came in and worked from the ground up through the people. It took them a while to get, you know, the aldermen on board. But once we saw that connection, that community, because I'm very leery of some development corporations. Some of them come in, they're just there for a minute, and they move on. If it's not fruitful for them, they're not making the money they're looking into, they're not interested. But they came in from the ground up. They got the thoughts and desires and the wishes of the people. We had to let the people know, look, we're not trying to move you out. We're not trying to outprice you. We want to stabilize you. We want to bring neighbors in like you, that you all blend together. And so for them to come in and see, okay, let's put something here, let's put something here. It's connected to this park. It's connected to this. And making connections in this whole development idea. And then the houses looking like the houses that are there, so that it doesn't like, oh, okay, well, the prices over here are going to be $100,000 and yours is going to be $30,000, but, you know, we're not worried about you. We're just trying to build up a neighborhood. No, they made it all cohesive so that all would go together and help everybody's values come up. So, you know, they didn't look at it from they looked at it from a godly perspective, which is something that normally doesn't happen, and that's why it's working so well.
What was that final action or that in their plan that was convincing to you that this is a worthy project, that this is something that is going to be good for this neighborhood?
I guess it was the profit margin. There was none. They weren't in it for profit. They really were in it to build a sound home for someone to live in that structure for 20, 30 years, which is usually not, you know, people just build a house and after 10 years it's falling apart. No, they really were interested in building a home that would last in the community, that would hold its value. And they weren't worried about, okay, yeah, we could probably sell it for this, or we're going to sell it for this, so that it does sell, and people are interested, and it has these amenities. And it was about fixing the community. It was about rebuilding the community. It wasn't about just coming in and, how can I say, you know, you've had a lot of developments in other areas, and the community looks totally different afterwards. And that's fine and well, but how many of those people actually live in that community before the development still do? Sometimes developments are built around moving people out. No, they didn't want to do that. So when I looked at the housing and I looked at what they were using sweat equity from their parishioners. They were going after these grants and things, and they took me to New York and they showed me their project there and just kind of really gave me the in and out, inner workings of how they do things and how they are about community-based rehabilitation. And I just, at that point, I was like, I'm sold. And then when the first house, we broke ground on it because there's been so many, you know, deals I've been in other parts of the wards that never even got to groundbreaking. And they broke ground and they built that house, and that house was beautiful. You know, it was like, yes, this was the right thing. Yes, this was the community. College Hill had a chance, got a chance, and this is the right direction. So I'm proud of that. I had some homes built in another part of the area, the ward, that didn't go so well. And, you know, I wished I would have took the time to go through the steps I've been through with Lutheran Housing Services. That, you know, it may have been a little bit more stable.
Has your work with your partnership with Lutheran Housing Support for the College Hill neighborhood, has that changed your perspective on how to approach potential developments in the future?
Yes, absolutely. I do believe that the way they worked it, the way they worked with the people first and got what they wanted in their concept, and then building the trust with the community was something that was important to them. Mm-hmm. That's why they're so excited about it. But they didn't just start with housing. They started with other projects, the garden. They started with doing housing programs with helping people with repair and prayer. And so it was more than just first housing. That was their main goal, but they knew they had to take some steps to get there. And they did it, and they took their time to do it, but they did it right.
What role do you think the congregation, St. Paul Lutheran Church, plays in the development of College Hill?
The role, I think, you know, from learning from them over the years, their church, their congregation has been focused on College Hill and has never given up. And a lot of folks give up after a while. They never did. They've been committed to this neighborhood, and they never wavered. So no matter how hard it was or how difficult it was to move the process through the political side of it, which was my side, they still stuck with it. So I just give them all the credit of just not walking away and moving to another area. And I've been alderman for 16 years. I've had College Hill for about 10. And I know it wasn't easy in the beginning either, but I just give them all the credit to not want to leave and be committed no matter what. And not only just those, Fred and Nicole, that work there and are there, but apparently the church as a whole and how they outstretch their arms to this community. It's just really fascinating. It's a blessing.
What is your hope and vision for College Hill?
My hope and vision for College Hill is that as they begin to build these homes and sell these homes, that other people will also come and want to either buy and rehab nearby property, that the business district, which is not necessarily in my ward, but along West Florissant and Grand, that those small businesses, those small business entrepreneurs are able to build their business around the people in the community, because that's the people, they want to go shop in their community. They want to go eat in their community. Mm-hmm. And that's not always the case in North St. Louis. Usually we have to travel a long way, but College Hill being right off the highway has a great opportunity for residents to settle in the city and be able to get where they have to go very quickly, is on main arterial streets, as well as be able to go in your community and have dinner, mm-hmm. or buy you an outfit or go get you some services to help you with a job. And I think if you're able to build around that fabric, other people will see what you're doing. And it's happening already. Others will be interested and ready to roll as well. So if you get a couple of projects happening at one time, it's only going to spark interest of others. Like, hey, did you know what they were doing over in College Hill? And I will give my neighboring aldermen credit as well. They're also building up so that it all goes in together. No one knows where our boundaries, our war boundaries, end and begin. But they do know about communities and about neighborhoods. And I just think if you just continue to hit away at a few spots, it will grow bigger, and other people will take notice, and they'll want to invest as well.
Lastly, how is Lutheran Housing Support a part of that hope and vision for College Hill?
I have to say, from my side of College Hill, they have been the only hope and the only vision that College Hill has had in a while. You know, they're helping them try to stabilize their neighborhoods through crime, getting some cameras in the area to help out. They've been helping people with rehabbing their homes. You know, good. They do the prayer marches through the neighborhood, and they adopt the neighborhood and community in a spiritual way. And now they're doing rehab. They have been the creative vision, in my opinion. So, you know, they are it right now. We have all grown to rely on them. And I wish I had more St. Louis Housing Lutheran Services. I wish I had them more in other neighborhoods, but I don't. But I'm still pleased that we have grown to work together and have been a very positive outcome. So you know, I just, not every community has that opportunity, that link with such an organization as College Hill has.
Alderwoman Flowers, representing the 2nd Ward, St. Louis, Missouri, thanks for being my guest today.
Thank you, Andy.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.